T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this is pretty exciting here, what you've cooked up.
It is. Basically, today we're going to taste a little bit of an international Christmas.
Oh, look at you.
How fancy.
Yes. Mostly German stuff because it's the home of dirty Germans, and they send us stuff all the time.
Sure, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with Robin being related to actual Germans.
And getting German products.
And
so, knowing what she's talking
about. Okay.
Yeah. None of that comes into play.
No. We will also have, by the way, an American tradition, a Smith family tradition. Me and my cousin drink it every Christmas Eve, whether we're together or across the country. We tweet pictures of each other drinking spiked eggnog.
And this is the look, I'm not sure if it's egg. It says eggnog wine cocktail.
So here's the deal. We have the Kirkland brand in here. Now, you can spike your own eggnog with either rum or bourbon. Don't use both. People will find it disgusting. I've been through that. But you could buy the pre-made ones. I think this Kirkland one's going to be really delicious. Me and my cousin used to drink one called Old New England.
Listen, do you spike your own typically, or do you buy one that's pre-spiked?
Me and my cousin have this thing where we have to buy the spike. Like, the cheaper, the worse, the better. And I don't know why. It's just a weird thing we do.
Ted has been assuring us all week that we're going to like it.
Oh, yeah.
He spins around in a circle. Oh, dude, me and my cousin buy like the worst S on earth.
Right. So I think this is better. You guys are going to enjoy this.
Oh, no. God.
Robin looks terrified. Oh, she opened the bottle.
Pour me a little sip of that.
Wait, just so you know, Robin poured some. I couldn't see what she poured, but then she put the lid back and just started shaking vigorously.
It looks like looks like you could use this as a prop. I'm just saying.
Come on,
man. Is that where you need to
be? That smells like my birthday.
Well, you drink it on your birthday.
It's not. It's
phenomenal.
Dude,
you look really happy.
I am.
It's not as bad as I thought it would be, but it's not awesome.
I think it's great. What do you think, Miles?
I think it's delicious.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. Dips on the other half of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're enjoying some spiked eggnog. Now, today, we're going to pair it with the traditional Christmas Stollen.
Mike has lost his mind, by the way.
Stollen.
Mike is gone.
All right.
Mike.
Stollen is a fruit based of nuts, spices, and dried or candied fruit. Coat it with powdered sugar or an icing sugar.
Just give me
it's traditional German bread eaten during the Christmas season when it was called Wein Stollen. This particular one has marzipan inside, which is basically a Sweetman almond meal with honey and sugar. I would like to try some, but I'm reading. And as we found out with the Whoppers, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's okay.
What do you think? It's kind of like fruitcake, but better, I believe.
That's the problem. I don't like fruitcake, but but it tastes better than fruitcake by leaps and bounds.
All right. All
there
right.
you go.
I will say my mother is one of the only people that likes fruitcake.
Something wrong with her, man.
Yeah. The original one's from Texas, by the way. You look like Mr. Christmas. All right. Next.
I tried to wash down the thing we just ate with the eggnog. They don't mix in your mouth.
No, not real well.
Yeah.
Next, we're going to try authentic German Lebkuchen.
Lebkuchen?
No. Robin, just help me out. Leberkuchen?
Lebergorgen?
Lepe.
Lebkuchen.
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 I did the phonetic spelling for you there.
I know. Traditional German cookie that is usually baked for Christmas. It's most like a soft gingerbread cookie made with molasses and full of warm spices. Ooh.
Is this the frosting or the chocolate?
This glaze provides the perfect complement, a little sweet and a little hint of lemon.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the this one.
That one?
Yeah.
Is it the cookies?
The cookies with a little powdered sugar?
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Correct?
Yeah, that's
your
Lebkuchen. The one that's cut into pieces for you. Yep.
All right. I spelled it phonetically for you.
There's
I know.
Chocolate version and then just kind of the normal frosted.
So that's the normal frosted version.
That tastes like absinthe.
It's most like a soft gingerbread.
It's the anise from the gingerbread sort of spice mix.
Okay. Yep.
Now, next up, we will try the chocolate-covered Lebkuchen.
Nailed it.
By the way, if you're wondering, these are also vegan for people. This
Thank
is a German,
God.
Again, German spin on the German bread. Gingerbread cookie, but dipped in milk chocolate and filled with sweet apricot jam.
Get into the hearts. That's
yeah,
what he's talking about.
The hearts also come
hearts.
In giant
yeah.
size, made for giving. You gave him the
Wait.
Wrong thing.
Sorry.
Oh, come on, you son of a bitch.
You want a half yeah. or a whole?
Just give me a half. Yeah. I don't know what my mouth is.
Some people aren't huge fans of apricots themselves, which I agree. But apricot jam and jelly comes in a lot of ways, and you can even use it with your meatballs, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying.
Very good.
What are you saying?
You could make delicious like a molasses.
Oh, like, okay. You literally meant that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, my
I
bad.
Made, I made it sound dirty. That was just me being a jackass.
All right.
Wait a minute.
Not bad.
There's three. All right, we ate three. No, there's four things.
Yeah.
So we had the chocolate-covered one, and then the hearts. Oh, now it's time for the...
Oh, yeah. Get to the last one.
Let's get to the chocolate orange.
The chocolate orange.
Now, this is a Terry's chocolate orange.
We're going England on this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This product. All right. So here's the deal. You've seen these before.
I never have. This is my first time.
That's why you get to break the orange.
All right.
At one time, it was estimated the chocolate orange was found in a tenth of British Christmas stockings. I always put an orange at the bottom of my stocking as well.
Okay. The instructions say to whack and unwrap.
Whack it and unwhack it.
So do I smack it on the bottom or do I smack it on the label?
Just whack and unwrap. Those are the only freaking instructions in the whole.
I just whacked it. Is that hard enough? Did I whack it hard enough?
No.
I just whacked it again.
Unwrap it. Let's see.
All right. I whacked, and now we're going to unwrap. What happens if I unwrap it and it hasn't been whacked?
Then you don't know how to whack.
All right. Here we go.
It has two instructions. Whack
it and unwrap,
it,
yeah.
And you still have questions.
Well, I whacked it, but it didn't do anything. Look, I whacked it. Oh, there we
go.
Oh,
you there it is. Yeah, there
I did
go.
Whack it. Okay.
This chocolate product laced with orange oil was created by Terry's in 1932 at Terry's Chocolate Works in York, England. Production moved to France. 2 years ago, the chocolate balls traditionally slammed on a hard surface to cause the segments to separate from each other.
I'm here to support that theory.
Yeah.
What do you think? Now that we've had this sitting in the office for months and it's been killing me, like Miles, whack
it's awesome.
Already.
Yeah, it's very good.
They're delicious.
Yeah, it's amazing. First time I've ever had one.
Yeah, I can't believe you never had one of those.
No.
Do you not have any English friends?
I do not. Apparently not.
Damn it.
Very good.
Oh, wait, hang on.
So did you get in?
No, nah, wrong
Did you get
one.
In on this chocolate orange?
I did, ma'am.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It is. Plus, I mean, oranges and chocolates go well together anyhow.
If you do it in the right proportions.
That's the first time I've ever had orange-flavored chocolate.
And what do you think?
I think it's great.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I get my orange juice.
Now back to eggnog.
Well, hint.
You want mine?
If you're at Miles' house, maybe put one of those oranges in his stocking.
Yeah.
If you're at his house, after you rob him, yes, leave him one of these.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Who do you know with a special talent or skill? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Quentin. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So this is about me. My weird skill is I can weld with my feet.
I'm sorry, what now?
I can weld with my feet. Like I can hold the welding torch in my feet and weld with it.
Is this because you're very strong, skilled, you don't have arms? How did you get this talent?
So one day, my buddy just bought a new trailer-mounted welding rig. And, you know, we were playing around with it, doing all kinds of, frankly, stupid stuff. And I said, hey, you want, let me try welding my feet real quick. And, you know, it was kind of tricky, getting it held between my boots. But eventually I did it, and I actually made a pretty okay weld with it.
Wait, why did you want to try to weld with your feet? I'm not understanding what this spark of inspiration was.
I was a teenager at the time, and we were
say no more.
Yeah, we saw a man drink and eat with his feet, but he didn't have arms.
No, so, I've
so
got arms.
Obviously he was very skilled with his feet.
I've never seen anyone hold a fork and a knife and like cut a piece of steak with their feet.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of next level. Otherwise, he looked like a pirate.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looked like the Gordon Fisherman a little bit.
But how he was backed, like how he could sit, you got to keep in mind, this guy's sitting on a bar stool.
Right.
He's not on a table. So he's already elevated, and he can just bend his knees up to a point like in his chest. And then it kind of looked like a praying mantis, like how he worked his
It looked like he was stuck ass first in the trash
down,
can.
You know what I mean?
What
but
mean?
Then he could bring his feet to his face.
I don't know that I could eat next to him.
Well, we were kind of, look, we walked into the place. His back is to you when you walk in. So something looked weird, but you don't really notice. And where we sat, we're kind of catty-cornered to him. Picture the bar being the shape of an L. He's on the bottom, running up and down part. And Miles kind of nudges me. Doesn't say anything, just, you know, directs me with his eyes. And then I'm like, what? What are you, the guys over? Oh, my God in heaven, the dude's eating with his feet, chatting with the bartender. Like I said, fork and knife, wiping his mouth with the napkin. The whole thing, Ted, I'm not making this up. And then before he left, because he knows the bartender, gave her a high five with his foot. She did her hand, he did his
foot. I don't know if I could high five. And he was eating a steak, huh?
Yeah, he was cutting up his food, man.
It was insane. Just and like, then start spreading the news. No. And then we got kicked out.
Yes, that is true.
He would, right.
What'd you get kicked out for?
You know how you
I don't want to sound, we would sound really,
you know,
really
you
terrible.
Can't keep it together sometimes when something happens, but it's not supposed to be something that's supposed to be funny.
Something that's, right, it's not supposed
like
to be funny.
Like laughing at a funeral and you can't stop.
Yeah.
It was kind
or
of like,
laughing at somebody at a karaoke bar.
Yes.
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 Right.
And look, we're trying to keep it under wraps. It's just our shoulders kept jiggling, you know. The bartender then started laughing because it gets a little contagious. But I think when she pieced together what it was we were laughing at, and now she's laughing too, she kind of made us go.
No, we weren't being bad.
Like, she's just like,
is this a bar you normally go to?
Yes.
This was a bar that I've been banned from.
Yes, and it was great food too. And I had like my chin down, but my shoulders are bouncing up and
down.
Oh, and I can't breathe.
Yeah, we got kicked
out
of there.
Wait a minute, is that the second time?
No. We got
that was the final time.
We got kicked out that time. I was 86 permanently for a different incident. I'll leave it at that. But
just keep in mind, I'm not going to say where the place is. But I once puked and rallied in the parking lot. They invite me back.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, no, we were gone.
Damn. Yeah, we were thrown out.
Who do you know with a special talent or skill? 844-999-OLA.
It was bad, man. It was bad.
I can't believe they even serve steak.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Yes, they do.
The place looked terrible, but the food was actually pretty good.
Oh, it was great.
It really did. It looked like a bar that should be in a motel.
Yeah, they have bacon fried rice.
Mm-hmm. And delicious dumplings.
That was so good. I think I never got to get bacon fried rice again. I could probably sneak back in now. They won't remember me.
I don't know.
I bet you could find bacon fried rice somewhere else where you don't have to.
But
risk
it was really good.
It
there.
Was really I mean, good there,
just
man.
Really
we
good
live
there.
In Seattle.
I know, but it was really.
It was very unique then. You know what I mean? It was kind of like new. You know what I mean?
But they still did it better. Everywhere. They did it better than anyone else. That's all we're saying, man. Like, it's the best in town, and we can't go in because I definitely cannot go in.
Miles, I bet you could pull it off.
I could, yeah. I think I could.
That's so unfair, though.
I just have to go in with a hat and sunglasses.
It is, but, I mean, people don't recognize Miles at our own events.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows you.
I'm going to walk in there, she's going to go, no, you out.
That would be kind of funny, though.
You friends with tall black men, no.
You start spreading the news, guys.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network. And now, everyone's favorite daytime game show, where one person could lose $325,000 and their job, or win, and walk away with nothing. It's time for Ted versus the FCC.
Oh, good news, Steve.
What's that?
All right.
Oh. As the year comes to a close here.
Uh-huh.
According to our own Mike Hawk, he looked at the master board.
Yeah.
That is the last time this year that we will have to stay up and come up with these rhymes, riddles, and tongue twisters for Ted.
Oh, thank God.
And I mean, Ted versus the FCC.
The effort we've put in this year alone is like eight men.
Which sucks, because we did some really good ones last night on that trucker speed you got.
Again, some of your best work.
Your nose just bleeds, though. That's the problem, all night long.
I think he said it was powdered bug repellent.
Did you get that from the Viper Man?
Oh, yeah, you know the guy.
Yeah.
Mike, do we know the record? On Ted versus the FCC. Well, we'll get that for our end
Let's
of the year
call
spectacular.
It, pretty damn good.
Yeah, don't forget that at the end of the year, we play you all the misses in Ted versus the FCC, which, to be honest with you, it's not going to be the longest reel. Ted's had a pretty good year successfully, but lo and behold, we come in and we find that
some
we
people
have,
like short reels, Miles.
We have a listener submitted Ted versus the FCC. So much like the Dirty Germans, we always say the listener comes first.
That's correct.
And we are going to go with a listener Ted versus the FCC. Our last one comes from a guy named Emmett. He says, guys, I figured I'd try doing lines of OxyClean and take a shot of summoning the spirit of Billy Mays to help me write this.
There you go.
It is short and sweet and goes something like this. So here is this week's Ted versus the FCC. Big Nick has a thick neck. Thick Neck Nick is friends with Rick Doc. Rick Doc calls Thick Neck Nick a necker. The way we do Ted versus the FCC, like you're making out, you know what I mean, with your girlfriend, is we do that one time through and then three times fast.
You don't have a highlighter, huh?
I did not highlight that this time. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
I was trying to make it tricky.
I'll play through the conditions, all right?
Okay.
I'll play through the conditions. Big Nick has a thick neck. Thick Neck Nick is friends with Rick Doc. Rick Doc calls Thick Neck Nick a necker.
Three times fast.
Big Nick has a thick neck. Thick Nick or Thick Neck Nick is friends with Rick Doc. Rick Doc calls Thick Neck Nick a necker.
One.
Big Nick has a thick neck. Thick Neck Nick is friends with Rick Doc. Rick Doc calls Thick Neck Nick a necker.
Two.
Big Nick has a thick neck. Thick Neck Nick is friends with Rick Doc. Rick Doc calls Thick Neck Nick a necker.
Whoa. Whoa.
I don't feel good.
Want more of the Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
Let's give it up for Brian Thor back in the studio.
Hello.
With the same enthusiasm as ever.
This must be very exciting for you to be back in studio. We know you've been on the road doing gigs in New York City and Miami, Florida, all across this great country of ours. And now you're back with us. Surely you got to be excited about that.
I'm very excited, Miles.
Yeah, we can tell.
I can tell. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Things have been going well for you?
Things have been going fantastic.
Okay, I know
you can hear it in your voice.
You've been in charge of a lot of big shows and all that stuff, and you got promoted in the company. We'll talk to you about how we can do that later on.
I'll help you out.
But you're here for a very special announcement. Is that correct?
That's why I come into the studio for announcements, as this one.
And we appreciate it because this is a big one, and we save it for you because you really bring that enthusiasm that we're all looking for on these big announcements we have.
And we all agree on that. Like, no one else can do this announcement except for Brian Thorpe. We need just that voice from the rooftops that comes raining down.
You know?
That's affirmative.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, this is a project
proven
that you've been working on for years. This is something that you helped build, something that you helped curate, and we have made it now that we have three different Men's Room beers. We have Men's Room Original Red. Mm-hmm. We have Men's Room Gold, which is available all year round now, and we have Men's Room Black, which is a seasonal, delicious beverage. And all the proceeds of the portion go to the friends here at the local Fisher houses in the area. Brian Thorpe, what news do you bring us?
Men's Room Black.
What's up? That's what he calls me in the halls.
Is back!
There it is.
The Black is back.
Men's Room Black is back.
Just in time for the holidays.
Exactly, Miles.
Okay.
This Imperial Red is available in Washington, boasting its 8.9% ABV.
That's a beer that packs a punch.
It does. It's big, it's red, and it's delicious.
It says, Ola Bicholas, rock on and unleash your devilish side with this extremely limited edition Imperial Red Ale. It is big, it is dark, it is aromatic, and full of yummy Chinook and Cascade hops. Alcohol percent, 8.7 by volume.
8.7.
That's a hell of a beer, man.
8.7, yeah.
7, 8.7.
Contributed to my broken wrist years ago.
Yes, it did. So the Black is back. Also, as far as some of the locations are concerned, do us a favor. Shoot those to the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com as far as our emails are concerned. Right now, Men's Room Black is available in six packs at Total Wine & More in Puyallup, in Silverdale, Federal Way, and Olympia. Also at Albertsons in Port Orchard, Lakewood, Gig Harbor. Our friends at Safeway in Lacey, Kent, Kent, Gig Harbor, and University Place are also carrying Men's Room Black. The Bonnie Lake Grocery has it as well. BevMo in Tequila. Brookside Grocer in Auburn. Also, the Chevron in Olympia.
All right, Chevron.
Ralph's Thriftway in Olympia. The Safeway in Anacortes, Ted, if you're up there getting a muffin, stop in and get some Men's Room Black. The BevMo locations in Issaquah and in Silverdale, Lake Sawyer Grocery in Black Diamond, Dan's Belltown Grocery.
Oh, nice.
There you go. 7-Eleven in Puyallup, the Rosario Market in Anacortes, and the Loggers Inn in Salton. Some of the locations that you can pick
and
up.
And thank you guys for carrying that, man. Honest to God. Thank you very much
And thank you, just so you know, a portion of the net proceeds of all the Men's Room Black, of the red and the gold, go to our friends locally here at the Fisher House. So anytime you enjoy one of the Elysian products that has anything to do with the Men's Room, you're doing a great job with our charity. So we really appreciate that, too. Brian, thank you so much for
bringing that enthusiasm,
bringing
man.
The heat, bringing the thunder. And by the way, if you do not have the Men's Room app, get that now. There's a Men's Room Original Red and Men's Room Beer Finder on there. So if you're looking for some local locations where you can pick up the black, just get our app now. It is the Men's Room app. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate it so much.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the Radio.com app. And now, the Men's Room proudly brings you Bad Jokes.
Mike Hawk here to kick off the Bad Jokes.
All right, what did the kid with no hands get for Christmas?
What did the kid with no hands get for Christmas?
Gloves. I'm just kidding. He still hasn't opened his presents yet.
Oh, damn. A buddy of mine is addicted to brake fluid. Says he's fine, and he can stop whenever he wants.
Did you hear that they're releasing Wookiee meat in stores to promote the new movie?
No.
Well, unfortunately, the meat is a little chewy.
I was attacked by three guys the other day, but I managed to knock one out. Looking back, it probably wasn't the best time to masturbate, but it could have been my last.
Why should you not fight a dinosaur?
Why should you not fight a dinosaur?
Because you'll get Jurassic kicked.
What do you call a man that never farts in public?
I don't know. What do you call a man that never farts in public?
A private tutor.
Why did the skeleton stop by the barbecue?
Why did the skeleton stop by the barbecue?
For spare ribs.
What do you get when you cross alcohol with an unstable parent?
Alcohol with an unstable parent.
Beats me.
Oh, damn, Mike. Jeez. What part of your home should you sleep in when it's only 40 degrees?
The basement.
Negative. You want to sleep in a corner because it's usually 90 degrees.
Why don't they make jokes about the Jim Jones Massacre?
Oh, no. Why don't they make jokes about the Jim Jones Massacre?
The punchline takes too long.
Oh, no. Took the lady to the museum the other day, and she leans over. She says, "You think we can take pictures?" I said, "No, I'm pretty sure we need to leave them on the walls."
Says if you're looking for bad jokes, you always want to use sausage jokes because they're the worst.
Wordplay.
Yeah, wordplay there.
Why do they call them roach clips?
Why do they call them roach clips?
Because potholder was taken.
Connect with the Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live.
One night we were in our apartment, and there was a club at the time that had just let out. It was probably 1:30 in the morning or something like that. We, of course, are up. We got off work at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having a few beers, doing our thing, and a fight breaks out as people are leaving this club.
And this almost happens, well, probably every weekend there's a fight. This one was just particularly epic.
The guys were in the street, and both of them knew martial arts. So, like, one guy's warming up with spin kicks on one side. Right. You got a girlfriend in between screaming, like, "Don't fight him, Billy!"
Right.
Or whatever the hell, you know what I mean?
And then, no, if I remember correctly, she was the terrible girlfriend. Like, "He gonna F you up."
Yeah.
It was like egging it on.
Right? Well, it got to the point where, like, look, both of these guys could probably kick anyone else's ass, but now they realize
they're gonna have to fight each other.
They gotta fight each other, and they both walked in with an equal skill set, right? But the odds of you bumping into someone that knows what you know are real slim, but here they are. So we could tell that they're trying to defuse the situation a little bit. Neither one of them wants to come to blows now because it's like, right, it's two Bruce Lees are about to fight. This is a problem. But the one girl would not shut up.
Now, you could hear her.
Kept making it worse, man. And it's like, you're going to get your boyfriend killed, but I just could not help but watch this thing.
We were hanging out the window, just watching, like eating popcorn.
We turned off all the lights.
Yeah, so they wouldn't see us watching. Yeah. Seriously.
It was awesome. I mean, it literally was like a movie, like how you expect a bad fight to go. He's gonna F you up.
It's like a street brawl.
I will say, when I was working at the AFL-CIO as a janitor,
yeah,
and I'll leave, you know, so that's the American Federation of Labor, Congress of Industrial Organizations. It's all the labor unions. I won't say which one, but a driver for, let's just say, an Irishman union, literally got into a fight with somebody else. They pulled a gun in the lobby.
Of that building?
Yes. We're at 16th and I Street. And, like, you always hear rumors about, like, gangsters being involved and this and that.
Yes.
And he literally, in the lobby, pulled a gun on the other guy.
But isn't that, I mean, like, and I apologize if this is offensive, but isn't that pretty well the gangster building in D.C. as far as government is concerned? Other than the actual government?
I mean that or the Teamsters headquarters.
Okay, I mean, right. I mean,
your answer basically confirms.
If this this is going to happen someplace,
that's a building.
I would think that would be the place.
The other instance I remember was they were redoing the building, and they were putting on like these names on a wall, right, of like the different unions.
All right.
But the lady that ran the department, she hired somebody who wasn't union. So then the painter.
She hired someone who was not union to put up the names. Right. Okay.
Because she thought they could just get it done real quick. And two very large dudes from like the painter's union just like walked in and like basically shook the guy down and were like, get off the scaffolding. Like, you can't do this job.
Jesus.
Wow.
I did work at a bar, and I've told this before. I worked at, it was a nice restaurant upstairs. Downstairs was a bar, and the bar itself was pretty nice. Miles, you might remember, Brewer's Art.
Yeah.
And this was basically the first legit brew pub in Baltimore City. So it was kind of a big deal. And a woman.
I never liked it because I had only drank like Miller Lite before. Every time we went there, it's like, what's with these weird beers?
And that's the thing, right? So that was kind of Baltimore's introduction into the microbrew world. And the brewer we had was outstanding. Almost everyone that I worked with there, I'd worked with at other restaurants. The woman who opened it, she opened it with two partners. I'd worked with her at many restaurants, so she just offered me the job straight up. I'm opening this place. If you want to be the sous chef, the job's yours. Took the job. It was a great place to work. We had some guys downstairs at the bar, and they're kind of harassing. I think Ruth was her name. And in spite of her name, no, she wasn't 600 years old. She's maybe 25. And these guys are getting really drunk. And it was these college guys, but kind of like you, Ted. Obviously, they've been drinking Miller Lite kind of stuff because they say things like, dude, I can drink 18 beers. We're like, we understand that this beer, like, this is like three times as much alcohol, man.
Yeah.
This is all we're telling. We're not calling you a weakling or anything. It's just, this beer's different. It'll mess you up. And it did. And they got really drunk. So we're trying to get them to leave. And it was two normal-sized guys and one just giant, giant human being. And he proved to be the most problematic of them all. So the bartender can't get these guys to leave, and most of the people at the bar at this time were other people in the industry. It's other people we know. Most people there are actually friends. That's what made this brawl so crazy, because by the end of this, like, friends were fighting friends, but we asked these three guys to leave. They won't leave, so they get us out of the kitchen, right? So we roll out there. Guys, man, this doesn't have to be stupid. Just leave. There's 1,000 bars down the street, whatever. So they agree to leave, but as they're leaving, one of our employees is kind of pushing them in the back to get them out the door. The big dude turns around, and I always remember this, because probably eight of us behind him. Just keep it. There's eight of us. We are full-grown adults. He turns around and says, stop pushing me, and pushes this guy back. When he pushes this one guy, like, all eight of us went backwards. Okay? And I just remember in my head, it's like, oh, no. Right? I mean, this guy has stupid strength. That's when things start to go down, and, I mean, a fight breaks out. Okay? So everyone in the bar is probably 50, 60 people, maybe. Like, it happened. Like, just drop of a pen, everyone is in a fight. Now, I work there, so I'm trying to diffuse this as best I can, but at this point, you're not going to diffuse it. You're just trying to pull people away from each other. You're calling out your buddies by name, like, John, just sit down, man. Like, what the hell's going on? So I see the big guy ends up punching my boss, the chick. I mean, just knocks her down. And keep in mind, everyone he has hit is dropping to the ground. And yes, I'm very strategically trying to avoid being in his general vicinity.
Yeah.
I don't want to get clobbered by this guy, man. He is just a beast. His two buddies get worked over in no time. And this guy is to take all comers. But he takes down the boss. And this dude, Carlos, I work with, loses his S with that. And Carlos weighed maybe 140 pounds, right? Just the thinnest little dude. And he goes up and kind of pushes the guy. Big dude looks at him. You want to do this? What we did not know is that Carlos was also an amateur boxer. Okay? So he jumps straight up just to get to eye level with this guy, pulls back his hand, hits this guy square between his eyes, and it's almost like, remember like an Empire Strikes Back, those big walking things?
As they slowly crumble down one knee at a time.
Yeah, it was like watching a Transformer slowly crumple back into a car, but it took forever. It's just, and you can see his knees buckle a little bit. And this dude just drops, and we're all looking at Carlos like, what in the hell? And that's what he points out. Oh, man, I'm an amateur boxer. I'm like, well, obviously. But now we got to drag his big ass out of the building and up a set of stairs to get him level with the street. So it's like a basement bar. Drag his ass out there. He kind of comes to. He wants to keep squaring up again. And I'm like, man, this is not going to end. So Carlos goes, hang on. I'm going to go get my gun. And I looked up. I said, wait a minute. We just had 50 people fighting. And now you tell me that you have a gun in your bag. We could have solved this. All you got to do is pull it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's done. Just fire one on the ceiling, whatever the hell you're going to do.
Got a gun right through the bar.
And you probably would have shot someone upstairs. I understand
waiting
that.
For a table.
But the cops finally showed him. They took that guy away, man. And I just, for like the next month, we're all like, if that dude comes back in, he's going to kill us.
Yeah.
If that big mofo, I've never seen a man that big drop the way he dropped from a man so skinny. But it was just one of the most incredible workplace experiences I've ever had. Like, this is like I'm watching a 70s movie with Burt Reynolds, man. This is a full-on, and no one knows what they're angry about. It was three dudes. That's it. It was just these three guys, and somehow everyone turned on each other and got into a fight.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Mike?
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
Michael, welcome to the program. Random question. Okay, let's see what we got here. All right. What did you or do you eat too much of? What did you or do you eat way too much of?
It's a tough question because I can't point to one particular thing, but probably buffalo wings.
All right.
Honestly.
How many buffalo wings do you need in a setting?
I just put a giant plate in front of me. I can probably polish up the whole thing.
All right. I did 12 on Saturday easily.
How often do you eat wings?
I used to eat them like every day for lunch, but I cut down on that.
Why? Now, was it one of those things where the doctor said cut back? Did you just feel weird doing it? What?
No, I was just starting to get sick of them, honestly, but I can still go for them.
It's also expensive. You know what I mean?
It is expensive, but they're delicious. They're delicious, and they come in 1,000 different flavors now, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got some last week and then went out to dinner. You know what I mean? Like, let's go get some chicken wings before we eat dinner.
But we switched it up, right? When you say wings, most people picture buffalo wings or you get whatever from Buffalo Wild Wings. But they have the dry rub at a local bar here, and they are so good. They're so ridiculously good.
That's the new hotness everywhere.
Yeah.
So basically, we both sat down, we split an order of wings, and then went home and had dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's right, though. Chicken wings are one of those things. Like, generally, you're going to order order of like 6 or 12.
Sure.
That's how they serve them at the place I go.
That's why we order them that way, yeah.
But he's right. If I was sitting there watching a whole game and there was an order of 24, over the course of the game, they're probably going to be gone.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like about it. They're fine at room temperature.
I did one of those things, you know me, where I went to a place and actually ate the pizza there?
Yes.
On Friday night?
All right.
I am well over my half of the large pizza. I'm now working on piece number 5. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Ooh. Like I have crossed the line.
That's always the line. Do you go for? Because I feel like if you go for piece 5, piece 6, it's like, yo, I'm in.
That's
I'm
what
in.
I'm saying.
But stop at 4.
Let's just do this. You know what I'm saying? Because I was so far along.
What was your pizza? What kind of pizza was it?
Got pepperoni and onion.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
It was fantastic. So I just kept eating, and that's the problem.
Was it just you, or did the other?
No,
person?
No, the other person, you know, got gypped off of piece there.
Oh, so they didn't care?
Maybe. I don't know. But either way, like if I would have had the
finish the other three,
yes,
ooh,
right. So, but if I had the pizza delivered, I guarantee you I'd have not eaten any more than 2 pieces of pizza.
Why do you think that is? Because I'm the same.
I don't know.
Right?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I feel like I eat less of the pizzeria. I'm more apt to eat more at home.
Really?
Okay.
Like if I order pizza at home, you know, the kids get theirs, and I'm down for like 2 slices, and that's it. If we actually go to a sit down place, I'm like, no. You guys get your own pizza. Daddy's getting his.
Robin
and I kill the whole thing.
Robin the devil over there. She got me turned on to these cookies called Tate.
Tate. Which ones were those?
They're in a little green.
Those are the ones from the New York bakery or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But you can get them at the grocery store and like all these places. And they come in a gluten-free option, but who needs it? They have like
whatever.
Chocolate chip and like a few other. They even have holiday flavors. I'm on the Tate's train.
So think of like
I'm on the Tate train.
A goldfish.
I have a buddy named Tate.
Goldfish or Pepperidge Farm type container,
yes,
but it's green.
Same type bag.
And it says Tate, and they have these thin, little, crispy, delicious cookies in them. And here's the thing. They're on two different levels, all much right. like the Pepperidge Farm world, right? So once you get past the first cup, then there's another equally delicious cup at the bottom of it.
That's what I was going to ask.
I can clean the top of those things off in one night. So, like, is a two-night
setting. It's one
for
serving.
Me.
2 nights?
Oh, easily.
Look, if you get, what is it, Milano's? Those are like my go. If you go Pepperidge right? Farm, they remember. you hook me up with Milano's. If I open the bag, I will eat them until the bag is done. There are no questions asked. I don't make any bones about it. My other true downfall is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, right? So if there's a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I will wait for the kids to go to bed because, again, they are still unaware the Cinnamon Toast Crunch exists. I pour a big bowl, and I eat it. And then I pour another big bowl, and I will eat the entire box in one sitting. Every time. Kind of sucks because the next day, I wish I hadn't have done that, but, man, they're so good.
I can eat crabs for hours. I can eat clams for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Steamed shrimp for hours. There's
Ooh,
a bunch.
I made some recently.
Some steamed shrimp?
Yeah.
How much? Half pound, pound?
2 pounds.
2 pounds?
Yeah, man. How Cleaned them they? Off, deveined them for everybody.
Did you
awesome.
Really?
They were a big hit at the dinner party.
Oh, you served them cold?
Lukewarm. I cooked them a couple hours before the dinner
okay.
party.
Oh, room temperature. Right. Actually, I've seen, I will say, that I was with Miles, and it was in Biloxi, Mississippi. This is the Half Shell, Half Moon, whatever the name of this place is, all right? So we sit down at the bar. They hand us a menu. And I want to say the first thing we got was like broiled clam, broiled oysters, whatever the hell it was. They were delicious. So we ordered the next thing on the menu. Fast forward 3 hours later, and this is not a lie, we ordered every single thing on their menu, crushed it. I want to say they gave us dessert for free because the bartenders could not believe how much food we were eating, how much money we were willing to give them, how much we were drinking and keeping it together. I mean, they absolutely, but we ordered every single thing on their menu and ate all of it.
I could eat broiled oysters all day long without question.
I like oysters. I have a limit. But shrimp, crabs. I mean, me and my brother did it, or me and DB did it a few months ago. We went to one bar, got wings, blah, blah, blah. Went to another place, got oysters and clams. And went to another place and got more wings.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
If we can find a place in our area that, that will have broiled oysters and do them somewhat remotely correct, I will service a goat on the air.
You service a goat on the air.
If we can find one place.
I know a place that does them well.
Within 25 miles.
I know a place that does them well.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you
I
don't.
I'm going to write it down. You've been here before. You just didn't order. I don't know if they do it all the time.
Maybe.
Oh, no. I want you to service a goat on the air.
All right. If I can find one place that does them remotely decent. I'll service a goat.
Mm. Well, that's not what I meant by this.
No,
that's what you're going to say when that goat walks in here. They've got to be good. Hey,
no,
listen, Bill's here. He's a goat. Get to work.
He's laying on his back.
Yeah, less is more. You don't stuff the whole thing. Like, don't put a bunch of crap in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The reason we asked.
Excuses are starting already. Sorry, Bill the goat.
What did you eat too much of? A woman in her 40s who was admitted to a hospital in China with severe abdominal pains was found to have a 2-inch indigestible. Is it Bezor, Steve, or Bezor? Bezor?
I think it's Bezor.
Bezor in the middle of her stomach. At first, doctors weren't sure if the mass was a tumor or another type of blockage because it was so big. That is a Bezor, whatever, is a solid mass of indigestible material that accumulates in the digestive tract, which can cause blockage.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, look who it is! It's me. Ryan Castle is enjoying a much-deserved vacation today.
Wait, you said Ryan Castle's off.
Yeah, today on Sit and Spin. Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
So don't rub it in, people. Don't rub it in. He knows you don't like him.
Easy enough to at least say on my behalf, and I believe yours, that one of the more quintessential albums in our lifetime that has come out during our lifetime would have to be Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Without a doubt. Yep. Without a freaking
doubt. Top to bottom, one of the greatest albums, at least in our lifetime. That's for sure. And with that, the fine folks at Spin Magazine, and we talk about this all the time, the fact that one thing we know about the pretentiousness of music journalism is that when it gets to magazine form, it becomes harsh. It becomes angry. It becomes highfalutin, stuffy.
But it seems so pretentious.
Things. But I want you to understand.
Even when you agree with them, you hate agreeing with them because they sound like such turds.
The level of pretension on this is unbelievable. I will spare you the details from Spin Magazine, but they do say that the worst thing that came out of Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. Any idea?
I don't know.
The band Buck Cherry. So like right out, of the gate, they just start slamming people.
Yeah.
And although Appetite for Destruction was 33 years old,
I thought they were going to say like the other albums.
Yeah. As of 2020, this is a list put together by Spin Magazine. Mm-hmm. All right. The worst Appetite for Destruction covers. And there are 10 of these.
10, number 10.
Is that Miles Kennedy?
It is Miles Kennedy.
Know what else sounds like him.
Again? I love his voice.
Me too.
I'm taking it.
And this is Spin Magazine again, and the writer says, you are an Alter Bridge and you are not Axl Rose. Miles Kennedy doing Rocket Queen from a iTunes session in 2010, which is actually, I listened to it, pretty good rendition
and
of the song.
He's got Slash with him.
He's got Slash, but look, he knows he's not Axl Rose, but if Slash asked me to sing Dixie, I'm probably going to sing Dixie, right?
I mean, yeah, probably.
And this is the guy's voice.
That'd be weird to slash out.
It would be.
For think, both of you.
I know. Yeah, I know. Like,
I don't know what it is, Thrill. Come on, man. I'm playing guitar. Let's sing Dixie.
These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers, according to Spin.com on Sit and Spin.
Nine, number nine.
Sweet child of mine.
Have they heard the song before they covered it?
Ted, you know who this is?
What's her name? I forget. Not Alanis Morissette. She was like drinking during the day.
Oh, Sheryl Crow?
Sheryl Crow.
This is Sheryl Crow.
That's
from the
why
Big
it's terrible.
Daddy soundtrack, 1999.
Yeah, she's
according
awful.
To Spin,
that movie
so many unworthy contenders for this lot, but to record a truly terrible cover of a classic song requires more than mere incompetence. A point lost on some people like Sheryl Crow. What's most disturbing about this version is that rather than seeming to domesticate GNR, Crow makes it sound like she's ever so mildly rocking up a song by Lone Star or some other lousy country balladeer. Again, spin.com. The worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sit and Spin.
Eight, number eight. Ooh, it was the last time I can remember.
I feel uncomfortable.
Ha!
This is Miles's doorbell.
I like it. Do we know this band?
This is Iron Horse.
All right.
They are a bluegrass tribute band.
I'm sorry. I love a banjo.
This comes from 2007, and Iron Horse is the bluegrass tribute to Guns N' Roses. Again, the text from Spin. Imagine you had a friend who, whenever he walked into a room, was like, these walls would look so much better painted beige. That's what some bluegrass fans must be like.
What color is beige anyhow?
Tannish.
Yeah,
Spin
like
Magazine.
Gracious.
And the worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sit and Spin.
Seven, number seven. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
This is your 13-year-old neighbor's garage band.
This is AFI from 2000 from Punk Goes Metal. According to Spin Magazine, going through their horror rock growing pains, a young AFI put in a performance that's as stiff as a course.
Six, number six. Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
They hired a 3-year-old kid or something.
Any idea who this is?
Is that like Vince Neil?
From the Rock of Ages soundtrack in 2012, ladies and gentlemen, that's Tom Cruise.
Oh!
Tom Cruise.
Say what?
Tom Cruise doing Paradise City, Rock of Ages.
That was a movie for children.
All right, because it is Tom Cruise, I'll give him. It's awful, but I give him credit.
These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sin Spin.
Five, number five.
We've been dancing with Mr. Brownstone. He's been knocking. He won't leave me alone.
Probably don't know who this is. This is Kelly Lofstrom. He was the fourth place finisher on Finland's American Idol, or Finland Idol.
Probably Finland Idol.
Where he was the Baltic answer to Darty at the time.
He sounds like a guy from a drama class.
But how's this kind of what's going on?
Yeah.
Leave him on dancing.
From Spin Magazine and Spin.com, these are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers, and we made it to number four. Ted, that's our good buddy Lizzie Hale there and the guys in Hailstorm.
Oh.
Out to Get Me from an album of covers in 2011. Here is how Spin spins this one. so clean and overproduced it comes to be a heavy metal high school musical outtake. You'd think Pennsylvania retro maniac Hailstorm would be more at home with this than, say, a Lady Gaga song. It's not a bad song at all. It's actually a pretty good cover. These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers, according to Sid and Spin.
A garage band with their one drunk friend.
This is a band called Break the Silence from Bring You to Your Knees, a tribute to Guns N' Roses. This is the guitarist from Rise Against. And a lot of these tunes on here, they say, even the growly voice Winterkorn switches to mid-chorus as he belts out the song title is less Cookie Monster than Grover. As decadent as a half-empty bottle of Flat Zima. These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sit and Spin. This is Natalie Renault and DJ Lau, It's So Easy, from Vintage Cafe Essentials in 2011. According to Spin, a drunk driving anthem gets the chill-out treatment. Nothing fakes class more than expediently than a millimeter deep groove and a girly Euro coup. And in keeping with the genteel mood. As she omits bitch. My God. Worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sit and Spin. According to spin.com, we made it to number one. This is the band known as Big Daddy, from their album From Cutting Their Own Groove in 1992. They are somewhat Hamster Love, somewhat Weird Al, Girl Talk, and Sha Na Na. The Lion Sleeps Tonight mixed with Welcome to the Jungle. There you go.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
Hello, Jill. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola. Joe, what team are you playing for today? Team sober, team not sober?
Team sober at the moment.
All right, Jill, welcome to the show. Jill, our men's room poll, you got to pick one to never celebrate again. Will it be Christmas, your birthday, the Super Bowl, or Thanksgiving?
That would be my birthday. It's not like my husband does much for it anyways. Hey there, Steve. I know you're listening.
Wow.
Man.
Wow. When was your birthday? Yes, is it coming up? When is your birthday?
My birthday's not till April.
April?
Is it typically a disappointment to you?
Yes.
And why is that? Is it based on just the non-thought?
Come on, Steve.
I mean, honestly, what are your expectations, Jill? What would you like to have?
Well, when I pretty much tell him exactly what I want for my birthday, hey, take me to a place we've never been to eat before.
Okay.
Just get
and
me
he brought you
wine,
over to my house.
Take me to the same restaurant we've been. No card, no nothing.
Damn,
or
Steve.
I'll get a present that he's bought on my credit card, and then I pay it off.
Oh,
oh no!
Damn, Steve.
Jill, what restaurant do you want to go to? Which one do you really want to try?
You know, I want to go to El Gaucho in Tacoma.
That is a great restaurant to
that
go to.
That is a fine choice.
And a very good choice on your birthday as well.
Come on, Steve. Take your damn
Steve.
Wife out to El Gaucho. Oh.
Yeah, it's nice
Steve's.
In there.
Steve's.
And then maybe to a concert afterward at the Tacoma Doma.
Come on, Steve.
Did
he get what
he got me last year for my birthday?
What did he get for you last year for your birthday?
He gave me gout because I'm allergic to shellfish. And he got drunk and he went to oysters and then touched everything and I ended up with gout.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. So you just had to sit around for your birthday and drink cherry juice like Ted does?
Cherry juice and then you wrap it with some vinegar with water and cayenne pepper and lemon juice and wrap it.
Hmm. Damn.
Okay.
Well, happy birthday. All right.
What do you give me? The gout.
You should get a singing car that sings about the gout. Hey, my babe, I'd like to take you out. I'm still staying in as you got the gout. All right. Here is your question. During a battle at a park between England and Ireland, this is back in 1916, there was a ceasefire every day so that this one park employee could feed what animals?
Hippopotamus.
Swans?
Close. The ducks.
Oh, the ducks.
I thought it was going to be a cat.
I appreciate the hippopotamus. Okay, I was wondering, Ted did a charades, and I'm like, it looks like he's showing like a cat or a tiger. What park do you know where there's like just feral cats rolling around?
I don't. But cats were big in England back in the day. I don't know. I saw a statue of a cat. It was a big deal in London.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And they used to feed it oysters.
Okay. Oh, see? You can't do that with Jill. She'd get the gout.
It was near the end of the tour. We had hit a lot of pubs.
All right. Here is your question, Jill. The oldest university in the Americas is the University of San Marcos. In what country would you find the University of San Marcos? Would it be Peru, Chile, Mexico, or Ecuador?
Now let's go with Ecuador.
Peru.
Peru.
Peru it is.
Was that a lucky guess, Ted?
No, there's just a lot of old stuff in Peru.
Okay.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff all over South America.
All right. Do you remember the movie Django Unchained?
Vaguely.
Vaguely. All right, well, just so you know, it came out in 2012, and that was the first time in 16 years that Leonardo DiCaprio was not the top billing person. Which one of two actors was named before Leonardo DiCaprio? He was third on the list.
Oh, the guy who used to date Katie Holmes, right? Wasn't he in that?
He was. Oh, you got it.
Okay. Nice.
Jamie Foxx.
Very good, Jill. There you go.
The other was Christopher Waltz.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the Radio.com app.
Bobbin, and we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Seema Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today, we toast 0 years old Tatum Miggs. Tatum Miggs would be the daughter of one of our co-workers, Steve Miggs, who works here at the radio station. After all of this time, his daughter, I want to say, at 12:01 this afternoon, joined us on this planet where she'll be raised by a bald, tattooed man that is not me. And you should know his wife finally gave birth. His wife, by the way, if you don't know, his wife carries so much weight in Australia, they named an entire Sydney after.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's huge, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got an opera house, the whole nine, man. They treat
very
her
famous.
Well. Yes, she's very, very famous in Australia. But yeah, so congratulations to him, man. He is now officially a dad. You're about to go broke, and your paycheck will never be your own again.
No, but the picture of the smiling baby and the smiling dad and mom is awesome.
I like that the baby's flipping him off.
I noticed that. She already got a read on this guy. So we've worked with this man for, what is it, like a decade, 11, 12 years maybe? Right? I mean, it's been a long time.
There seems to be a lot of staff members around here having kids, Ted.
There is.
When are you going to make
me? I have kids. Steve has kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Taryn has kids.
I have a savings account.
BJ has kids.
Ted has fun.
You wouldn't if you had kids.
Ted might have alcohol poisoning. I mean, it's just... Ted relaxes on the weekend.
I'm very happy for Steve.
Yes.
We all
are. And his wife.
Yeah, absolutely. That's incredible, yeah, man. So, yeah, 12:01 finally on Friday the 13th. That's nothing but good luck. That's all I've ever heard.
And a beautiful baby.
Friday the 13th baby. Actually, my daughter was born on the 13th. It was not a Friday. It was a Saturday. But sooner or later, her birthday is going to be.
Well, my daughter's birthday was yesterday. And Miggs' daughter's is today.
You don't have to one up the man. Just say congratulations.
Just, I did it beforehand.
So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Aw, man!
A Double Flush production.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.